In the name of God, whose property is always to have mercy. Amen. There is a story about a man who walked through a neighborhood on the first Monday of the month and stopped at the first house on the street. He knocked on the door and explained to the homeowner, "I have come into some money and I want to share my good fortune. So I would like to give you $100 if that's okay." Then he handed over a crisp bill. The surprised homeowner yelled, "Okay, you bet it's okay." And he thanked the mysterious man, who then walked away. The next week, the same man appeared, and the homeowner once again received a new $100 bill. In fact, it happened each Monday that month, and the homeowner was overjoyed. On the first Monday of the next month, however, the mysterious philanthropist walked down the sidewalk and passed by the first home. He went to the door of the second home on the street. "Hey," yelled the first homeowner, "where's my money?" The first homeowner in the story had gotten so used to getting the money each week, he figured he would always get it. When he found out otherwise, he was angry. He had made an incorrect assumption, and now it just wasn't fair that the money would go to somebody else. After all, the mysterious man had chosen him first. We find the same assumptions about fairness in today's gospel story. It is commonly called the parable of the laborers in the vineyard, and it is only found in Matthew. Jesus told the disciples this particular parable right after his conversation with them about the camel and the eye of a needle. You know that one about it's harder for a camel to go through eye of a needle than a person to get into heaven. But Peter pointed out right after that they, the disciples, had left everything behind and expected a greater return on their investment in Jesus. After all, it's only fair, right? So Jesus replied that they would receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. At the time, I'm not sure that that was quite what they had in mind. And remember the story of the prodigal son who was welcomed home and given a party after he squandered all of his money and his morals? Or the story of the rich young man who encounters Jesus telling him to give away all of his possessions and follow him, which the young man can't do. And he thinks that following all the rules is the only thing he has to do to inherit eternal life. And in both stories, unfairness seems to prevail. The elder brother of the prodigal thinks it is really unfair that he is the perfect son and he doesn't get to have a party. The rich young man thinks it's so unfair for him to have to give up everything he owns, especially after he's been such a good worker and rule follower his whole life. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like this. A landowner goes out at dawn to hire workers for his vineyard. They all agreed to be paid the usual daily wage of 1 denarius after working until sundown, and so off they went. It must have been a big harvest, bigger than they realized, because the landowner went back to the marketplace 4 more times, at 9 a.m., at noon, at 3 p.m., and at 5 p.m. And he told each of the groups of workers that he hired that he would pay them whatever was right. When evening came and the day's work was finished, the landowner told his manager to pay the workers, beginning with the last group hired and ending with the first group. When the first group, who had worked the whole day, saw the last group, who had only worked an hour, receiving the same pay as they themselves did, they were outraged. They grumbled at the landowner because he paid them all the same, no matter how long they had worked, and who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. Why should they do all the work and yet get paid the same as those who did the least amount of work? They should have been paid more. It just wasn't fair. Does any of this sound familiar? Life is not fair, is it? And we humans learn that very early on about measuring things according to winning and losing, about superior and inferior, about reward and punishment. And we compare ourselves to others and we compete with others. And we are often biased as to our relative worth in comparison to others. We see people who did something wrong get off scot-free, while at other times, no good deed goes unpunished. And sometimes it seems as if those who work harder don't get any recognition or reward, while those who work less hard get all the credit. We think, like the workers in the story, that equal pay for the same amount of work is fair, but equal pay for less work is not. And we look around and we see others who have more than we, and we don't think they deserve that, and we can get envious. We don't often look around us and see others who have way less or who work less and want to be in their shoes. We judge things as fair and unfair according to our own standards, and we like to keep track, and we want what we think is owed to us. It's only fair, right? Then the landowner in the story reminds the first group of workers that they have received exactly what they agreed upon when he hired them the first thing in the morning. That probably made them even angrier. If they had known they were to work the longest and hardest for the same amount of pay as those who did less, they might not have agreed to it. Not to mention that they should have been grateful to have work at all that day. The parable today is one of these stories that can leave us with a sense of uneasiness and discomfort. Things just don't seem fair in these stories, and our expectations can be turned upside down. In the disciples' day, people believed that wealth was a sign of God's blessing. And perhaps we think that too. The harder we work, the more we get, the better it is. I am so blessed, you hear people say. But usually we say this when things go well. We try to follow the rules, do good, help others. And we think our good works can earn us a place in heaven, can earn us favor with God. We want to go to the head of the line or the top of the ladder. The real clincher was when the workers who had worked a whole day and had not received more pay said to the landowner, "You have made them equal to us." I think that's one of the hardest things for us, to know and to understand that all of us are created equally by God. We either don't like to think about that with those who are different from us, or we just can't understand ourselves as equally beloved by God. Sometimes we are astonished to discover that God indeed loves all of us, even those who seem unlovable, even those who do really bad things at times. We just don't like to think about that. And Jesus said, "The last shall be first, and the first shall be last." Our own assumptions are challenged, aren't they? We can't quite understand this, and the disciples don't get it either. That's why Jesus teaches this over and over again. We are bothered by this vision of God's kingdom because it does not seem logical to us, and because God, it appears, even loves sinners. And of course, we good religious people do all the right things, and we don't know how to deal with this. It's just not fair. God should be the one to keep track of all the good and bad in the world, who has worked the hardest, and who is to be first in line, right? In the kingdom, we can see, as someone once wrote, the difference between our own stab at justice and God's stroke of grace. There is no first and no last in the kingdom of God. God's accounting is different than that. And our education, our resume, our work ethic, our salary, the clothes we wear to work, anything else, none of it gives us actual credit with God. We can try to jockey for the best position, but it ultimately doesn't work. This parable is about God's grace. It is unmerited, unearned, freely given, and there is nothing we can do about it. Nothing can stop or change the way God feels about all of us. God loves us all, and that love is what gives us real value. God then invites us to work in the vineyard and to use our own gifts. And the choice we have is to show up and work or to stand idle in the marketplace. And as someone once said, don't give God instructions, just report for duty. Our own human standards are not to be used to measure the generosity of God like the workers tried to do and like we often try to do. We are invited to see all others through the eyes of God. And God doesn't necessarily agree with all of our ideas about who is wrong and who is right, who is just and who is unjust. And that is good news. God surrounds all of us with grace and mercy and forgiveness and love, whether we deserve it or not. And we're invited to show the same to others and to celebrate God's amazing generosity. Real value, I read once, isn't found by climbing to the top of the ladder, but by holding the ladder for others. This parable speaks to the grace of God that falls on all of us and to the equality of God's love. It isn't really fair at times. There seems to be no rhyme or reason to it all. And we tend to measure God's love for us in terms of the good things that happen. And when things that happen that we don't understand any reasons for, it's harder because life can seem so unfair at times. The late Emily Gardner Neal once pointed out that it is not the unfairness of the world at which we look, rather, we find our hope in the unfairness of God. She continued, "The unfairness of God is the fact that neither you nor I are worthy to enter into God's kingdom and to sit at God's right hand on our own merit. God receives each of us, you and me, and those who are far more worthy and who have lived better and faithful lives into the kingdom." When we focus on the unfairness of the world, we center on ourselves rather than on God. God rains down manna on all of us in the wilderness of our lives, even if we complain and grumble. But then God is not fair. God is generous. And it's not because of who we are. It's because of who God is. In a few minutes, we will gather and be fed at the Lord's table together. The real presence of Jesus will be with each of us, no matter what we are bringing with us from our daily lives this morning. Whether we are at the first place in line or at the last or somewhere in between, we can count on God loving us with such amazing grace that we can't even imagine it. And no one can outgive God. Amen.
Amen.